everybody hear me? If you would, go ahead and bow with me. We're going to open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each person that you've brought here tonight. I thank you for our youth and our Awana kids and all of the people that you've allowed us to reach out to. Lord, we just pray that you give each and every one of us receptive hearts to know and love you. And Lord, as we come to your word today, we hope that you will give us the words to teach. We hope that you will help us to understand, help us to apply to our lives. Lord, let us leave here better followers of you than when we came. We pray all of these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You guys know what the worst thing is? That's not the first time that he's got me like that. This has happened before. Anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead and... yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with Psalm 150. Is going to be our main text today. So if you would, go ahead. If you've got your Bibles, be turning to Psalm number 150, the very last psalm. And go ahead and, if you would, stand with me, please, in the honor of reading God's Word. Psalm 150, while you're going that way, is a very special psalm to me. It kind of seems like maybe a little bit of a passage that's just out there in the middle of nowhere, but this is one of the first passages of Scripture that I ever really deeply studied for myself. This is a passage I've always really deeply loved. So if you would, let's go ahead and look and see what we can learn from this passage tonight. Psalm number 150, starting in verse 1, which says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Thank you. You may be seated. All right, guys, so I'd say from that opening passage, you probably know what we're going to be talking about today. So we'll just go ahead and get right back into it. This passage over and over and over again tells us exactly what we need to do, and that is to praise the Lord. And we are going to get a sampling of everything you can imagine about what we need to know about praising God. So we're going to go ahead and start by telling you that we are not today even going to scratch the surface of what the Bible says about praising God. And I did not know that when this study started. You would not believe that this has got to be one of the most prominent themes, one of the most prominent topics in the entire Bible. The entire Psalter, I would say the entire Bible, has the purpose of pointing us towards praising the Lord. And we see it in our church service. Half of every church service we have, we are up here praising God in the music that we sing. Hopefully, we hear it in the prayer, the sermons, the Bible studies. Everything that we do should be centered around giving God the praise that He deserves. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And that's what we're going to try to do today. A heart that has been changed, a heart that has true love for God, cannot help but lift itself up to Him in praise. It is something that we must do as believers. And before we get too far into the details today, I want to just give us a definition real quick. What does it mean to praise God? This concept that's mentioned over and over and over again in this psalm, what does that mean? What does the psalmist want us to do? Well, to praise God is to ascribe the value or the worth to Him that He deserves. It's to honor Him. It's to glorify Him. Our praise is something that acknowledges our dependence on Him, the fact that we need Him. And it is our spiritual worship of Him. It is absolutely essential in a Christian life. And as we'll see later, our praises cannot possibly compare with God's glory. There is no way that we could ever say enough. There is no way that we could ever sing enough. There is no way that we could ever do enough for our praise to be equal to His praiseworthiness. But we are still commanded in Scripture to offer our praise to Him. Now, there is lots of information in this passage, lots of stuff we could learn. This is very dense. But let me just take a moment before we get lost in the forest for the trees, before we get lost in all of the details, to just encourage you as a Christian, as a believer, you should be living a life of praise to God. That is one of our highest callings, one of our highest purposes for being here, is to praise Him. So I'm going to go ahead and look at our next passage here. If we'll put it up on the board, Exodus chapter 15. And I'm going to read verse 1 again in Psalm 150 before we go there. It says, "Praise God in His sanctuary and praise Him in His mighty firmament." So the first thing that we go to answer from our main text is, where should we praise God? And I think of all the things the psalmist addresses, this is the one thing that we just assume. Well, we don't even think about where should we praise God. But that's exactly what we're told in Psalm 150. So in Exodus chapter 15, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means to praise God in His sanctuary or praise Him in His mighty firmament. Do what? This one. Can anybody hear me now? Yeah, there we go. All right. Anyway, so we are going to be in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 17, which says, "You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established." All right, so we are told in this passage that we are to praise God in two places, His sanctuary and in His mighty firmament. Now, pretty much everybody agrees what the second, the latter of those two are. It's referring to worship in God in heaven. That's described in a number of places in the Bible. It says in Psalm 148, "Praise God in the heavens, praise Him with all His angels, all His hosts, praise Him, sun, moon, and stars." We know that God is always being praised in His heavenly sanctuary. Revelation 5 says that God is being worshipped by, and this is a direct quote, Revelation 5, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of creatures are worshiping God right now. And we're, of course, know that God's will should be done on earth exactly as it is in heaven. But a little bit more disagreement exists about the first place that's mentioned in verse 1. It says we're told to praise God in His sanctuary. Most people think this is probably a reference to the temple in Jerusalem where God's presence was. I don't think that it really matters. The point is going to be the same. We are to worship God in heaven and on earth. Now, we're going to get into the weeds just a little bit here. There is some gold on the backside, okay? So just bear with me a little bit. I put up Exodus 15, 17 because it defines for us exactly what a sanctuary is. God calls Mount Sinai His sanctuary, His dwelling place that He has established. And it says throughout the Bible, it says many times that God's presence has been manifested in very special ways in certain places. You could think of the Garden of Eden. You could think of Mount Sinai here in the passage we just read. You could think about the temple or the tabernacle later on. You could think about the church in the New Testament age. You could think about the new heavens and the new earth that we're working towards. But I want you to know that all of those places are holy places or sanctuaries where God is specifically to be praised. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in you?" Now, you know what that means? If God's presence is in you, if we have that privilege, do you know what that means? That means that we are God's sanctuary. That if we're to praise God in His sanctuary, that means that we can now praise God anywhere. Worship can happen anywhere at any time. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't necessarily have special places like here, the house of God, the church. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be among them." And that is great. That's beautiful. But we can worship and we can praise anywhere at any time. In John 4, Jesus tells the woman that he's talking to, the woman at the well, that the hour is coming when the worshipers of God will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean in context? Now, she has asked Jesus a question about where worship should take place. She says, this group says that we should worship on Mount Gerizim. This group over here says that we should worship in Jerusalem. What does it mean when Jesus says we should worship in spirit? That the hour is coming that we will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that we don't have to go to Jerusalem or to Mount Gerizim. We can worship God anywhere. And beyond that, in Psalm 150 in verse 2, I think that we see probably the central point in this entire passage, something that we really need to take away, the most important points. And that's, we've looked at what, right? We've looked at the fact that we need to praise God. We've looked at where, that we can praise God anywhere because we are His sanctuary. But why? Why is it so important for us to praise God? Why do we put so much time into praising God? Why do we consider that such a high priority? And Psalm 150 verse 2 says, "Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness." So he points out two things for us. He gives us two reasons for that we should praise God. He tells us we should praise God for who God is, and we should praise Him for what He has done. Now, that is something that I tell you, there is a ton of punch packed into a little bitty space in verse 2. You could very, very easily make an entire sermon out of verse 2. We should praise God because of the great things that He's done, and we should praise God because of the great being that He is. So I want to talk about both of those things a little bit. What are the things that God has done that should lead us to praise Him? Well, of course, there's almost too many things to mention, too many things to list. In the Old Testament, you could think about Him creating the heavens and the earth, Him redeeming Israel from slavery, Him leading His people into the promised land, Him restoring His people when they've fallen. In the New Testament, you could think about Jesus coming to the earth, the God Himself coming to be born of a virgin to go willingly to die on the cross for us. You could think about all of the miracles that He did. His substitutionary death, His being raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit being poured out on His people, the expansion of the church throughout the entire world, all things that we should praise God for. But there are a few things that I think in particular should lead us to praise God, that in particular we should remember the great things that God has done. I just want to list a few of those off for you. I think that the Christian person should praise God because of creation, because of the great creation that He's given to us. In Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. I saw a Christian YouTuber this week answer a question that was posed to him that said, "Do you really believe that God has created all of these millions of stars, all of these billions of galaxies, all of this great creation that He has made just so that He can try to have a relationship with you?" And the Christian gave him a very good answer. He said, "Yes, that is exactly what we believe." So I think that God has done many other things that we should praise Him for. I think that we should praise God because of His wonderful work of redemption that He has done in setting His people free from the oppression of sin. We were rebels. We were sinners. We were the ones that were suppressing the truth about God, sinning against God. But the Bible says that God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ came to die for us. I mean, praise God for that. If that doesn't make you praise God, I don't know what will. I think we should all praise God for His great work of providence. My favorite passage in the entire Bible is Romans 8:28. I spent a very long time trying to find every way I possibly could to work Romans 8:28 into every sermon and every Bible study that I possibly preached. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." You know what that means? That means the good, the bad, the easy, the hard, the rejoicing, the suffering, everything. Everything that happens is being worked together by an ultimately wise, perfectly knowing God for your good. If there's no comfort, if there's no encouragement from that, there is no comfort or encouragement in anything. We know that all things are being worked together for our good. And finally, I'd ask you to remember to praise and thank God for the little, the personal things that are personal to your life. Now, we've talked a lot about the big things, right? The creation, the redemption, the providence, the big universal things. But we need to know that the little things in our lives, the things that especially matter to us, are from God as well. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Now, I don't know what that is for you personally, and I did not know that we were going to have a baby dedication tonight. That happens to tie in pretty well. But it could be your family. It could be your friends. It could be your church. It could be your job. It could be your home. Whatever it is for you, whatever God has given to you, know that that is from Him and that we should praise Him because of that. And the second reason the psalmist gives us to praise God, he tells us to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Now, I need you to watch this, James, okay? This is my next passage, is Psalm 145, verse 3, where it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. We did not plan that out ahead of time, so that turned out pretty well, too. So it says God's greatness is unsearchable. It is beyond even knowing. And we are to praise Him not just for the great things that He has done. We praise God for the great being that He is. In Revelation 4, it says, worthy are You, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Now in Revelation 5, it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is He. He is worthy of blessing. In many conversations that I've had with people who either reject the existence of God or feel that the idea of God is just kind of naive or silly, the more I talk to them, the more that I notice that the God that they reject is not the God that I serve. The God that they reject is something that they have created in their own mind or that they have received from the culture. Where do we get our ideas about what God is like? Well, we get it from right here, right? That's why we teach from this right here. That's why we should learn from this right here. This is where our ideas about God come from. So what is God like? Not just what has He done, what is He like? And how does that differ from what we'll get in the world? Well, I want to mention several things. I think the first thing you have to mention is that God is love. 1 John 4:8 says that those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. God is not hateful. God is not evil. God is love. If the God that you're thinking of isn't love, then that's not my God that you're rejecting. We could go on, and people will often think of legends and heroes of the past. They think of their fickleness, their inconsistency, and they try to project that onto our God. But Malachi chapter 3 tells us that the Lord does not change. It's not just that God is merciful or holy. It's not just that God is love. It's that God will always be those things. God is never going to change. He's never going to diminish from what He is now. Many think of a God who is just as much a part of creation as any of us. They ask questions like, well, if God created everything, who created God? All right, checkmate, Christians. I got you there. Well, I mean, places like Psalm 90, verse 2 say, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. There is no super God above God that created God. God is the first. The buck stops with Him. He's the one that started all things. And many people throughout history have thought of their gods as just one among many. There are many gods. There are gods all over the world. I just happen to have one of them. That's not what the Bible teaches. In Isaiah 44, God says, I am the first and the last. Beside Me, there is no God. In 1 Samuel 2, we're told that none is holy like the Lord. There is no rock like our God. There is nobody like Him. There is nobody that compares to Him. He has no rivals, no competition. So why do we praise the true God? Because He is one of a kind. Because He is the only one that is truly worthy. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that He's light with no darkness. That nothing is too hard for Him. That the sum of His word is all truth. Everything about Him is praiseworthy. Like I said, He has no equals, He has no rivals, He has no threats or deficiencies. He is the only one that truly deserves our praise. And we are out of time. So, anyway, I will try to make it quick in our last couple of verses here. So, we've talked about why. I want to talk a little bit about how God says that He is to be praised. And we'll just go ahead and go to our next passage in Ephesians chapter 5. And before I read Ephesians 5, I'm going to go ahead and read again Psalm 150, verses 3 to 5. It says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. praise him with the lute and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. So a lot of people believe that for us to preach, we need to have preaching that is practical, that it addresses concerns that people actually have. And of course, the problem when you do that is that that pretty much forces you to step on some people's toes, right? And I think that it's very important that we address how God has told us that he's to be praised, and how he specifically tells us in Psalm 150 is with a whole variety of musical instruments. Music is the means that he talks about being praised with. Now, there is an entire group of people not too far down the road that probably believe that we are all going to hell because there's a piano right there. That is real. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. There are people out there who truly believe that. And I truly believe that that is the exact opposite of what the Bible says. The rejoinder to that, the response is typically, well, that's in the Old Testament, so that doesn't count. Well, I don't know if I can endorse that mode of thinking, but I wanted to address the New Testament as well. It says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to point out that it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and the psalms were set to music, okay? And that is in the New Testament. Now, I don't want anybody to be discouraged. I don't want anybody to doubt that God accepts the worship that we offer him in this church through our worship music. There is a reason that we do it like that, and that is because the Bible tells us to do it like that. Now, I've actually got another page or two of notes, but we are completely out of time. So I'm going to go ahead and pray out, guys, if you will. Tyler, will you pray out for us?